Because even if you did it, you need to realize that he puts everything in you that you're able to do anything. But let's do it in the proper order. Let's seek it from him and believe in faith and have it and it happens. And then you can give him praise. Not that God needs our praise, you know, but it's good for us to praise him. You know, and a lot of the whys of these things, honestly, when I think about why, you know, because I've thought through these things, and I'm not going to go into a deep explanation of it because we need to move on in this chapter, but God, what does it say? Why? Here's your why. According to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, God is an extremely intelligent person, and he, to say the least, and he has determined certain things within himself that they ought to be a certain way, and that we would be brought up a certain way, and that would make us acceptable to him as sons of God. The process of adoption, you know, it's a free gift, but again, we still have to go through these things, or whatever things he ordains. I mean, more or less, depending on whoever it is. That he might gather together in one. He might sum up. That word, he might gather together in one. He might gather in one is actually one word. It's he might sum up. Actually, the gather together in one. Yeah, it's all one word. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See, the Greeks have one word for that. Anakephalomai. I'm sorry. Anakephalomai. Iomai or something like that. I remember I used to know how to pronounce that. A-I-O. Iomai or whatever. It means to sum up. You can sum up everything. All things in Christ. All things what? All things that are his. You know? And even, you know, honestly, it is in Christ. What? He's going to judge all things. Because, you know, there's the opposite of predestination. Well, that's not quite the opposite of predestination, but there's sort of the negative side, those vessels of wrath. And those things are also brought together in Christ. Because he's going to sit in judgment of everything in the fullness of times, both which are in the heavens and which are on the earth, even in him. That very well may be a universal all. 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. In him we have obtained an inheritance, the inheritance of sons. Predestinated. There it is again. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So God works things by the way he wants things to work. He doesn't take counsel with man. He doesn't wait for man. He makes them happen. He causes them to happen. And I mean especially your salvation. You didn't, you know, they have this vision where Christ died on the cross, and he set up this way that you could get saved. You just have to choose it. God is waiting for you to make the choice. That's not how it goes. God doesn't wait for you to make a choice. He comes to you and provokes you to choose. And he knows ahead of time what you're going to choose. Because he's already ordained that you're going to walk in it. He has already ordained that you're going to obtain an inheritance. Or be ordained to wrath. That's also God hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Proverbs 16:4. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. It's Paul looking at it, even in his generation. First trusted is proelpizo, which means it's all one word. It means elpizo's word hope. We who hoped first in Christ, or hoped before in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Actually, that's kind of the end of that, where I stopped at verse 11, but I probably could have gone to verse 14. It shows you how well I planned these things ahead. But all who hope in the first, see the first, those who first trust in Christ, they are to the praise of His glory, because they gave us His word. They gave us those examples, the book of Acts, the letters of Paul, the letters of the other apostles, the Gospels. Those who first hoped, who hoped before, our fathers in the faith, the forefathers, those who came before us. And now also the Ephesians, but also us. After we heard that word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. What did that word of truth? Well, it starts with just sometimes, you know, they really ruin it, but true, it's true. You know, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Because you can't say that except God be with you, right? But we can think we're affirming Christ, but really we're just affirming something. We're not affirming Christ. What we're doing is we're confessing the way that we believe. You know, what I mean is, like, I believe that this is the way I'm going to be saved by saying this and by believing this set of facts. Faith cannot stay stagnant and just be based on a single verse. See, that verse was said at the conclusion of a long book. Not the conclusion, but, you know, towards the end. Romans chapter 10. Consider that there were 9 chapters before it talking about salvation, for the most part. Went into a great deal about it. And what he's saying there is that from the mustard seed-like faith at the beginning, it goes on, and you will be saved. I think where it gets messed up a lot of times is because of because what people are receiving is not the gospel or the word of truth, but a perversion. And just because it has one verse in there that's correct, see, the fact that the rest of it's a lie makes that one verse of none effect. So you can confess in your heart till you're blue in the face. If you're believing a false gospel, it is ineffective for you. Because you know why? Because that false gospel will prevent Christ from being formed in you. It's like a IUD or a condom. Because the false gospel is not the seed of God being planted in you. And without the seed of God planted in you, Christ cannot be formed in you. If it's some other seed,